Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 24th, the year of our Lord, 2024, and this is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of Holy Week, and I pray that it will be just that for all of us. It is always a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, and I guess at the beginning of Holy Week, it's a special kind of joy for me, and I pray it is for you as well. But it requires something of us. It requires us to pay attention each and every day of this week. For a lot of folks in the world, it's just another week. They have whatever's on their schedule this week, and they will pay no mind to the significance of this week and how the events of Holy Week, as it played out in the life of Jesus, changed the course of human history. And so we find ourselves where we are today. And there's a lot of where we find ourselves today that is quite hard. There are many, many joyful things for us to celebrate. But all it takes is for us to scan the headlines, look at current events, scratch our heads at what has gone wrong with our world's leaders. Holy Week reminds us of who our true King is, who is the King of the world, that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who comes to give and to love and to serve and to die for us. This is Holy Week. Welcome to it. So let's begin, as is our practice here. Let's begin by celebrating life, by taking in the breath of life and letting it go, and giving God thanks for every single breath because it's all a gift. And as you breathe, call to mind those things for which you are most grateful, the people and the places and the opportunities. God, thank you for all of it. Every good and perfect gift comes from your hand. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus, whom we celebrate this week. In this spirit, in this posture, at the beginning of this Holy Week, let's begin together in worship.
This is the first reading from Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Let's join together in response to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. You can find that in the bulletin that comes with the podcast. Just go over to the left of where you found today's podcast, just below where it says notes. Click on that icon, and the notes will come up for you. The bulletin will come up. Let's join together. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Amen.
Almighty God, on this day your Son, Jesus Christ, entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king by those who spread their garments and palm branches along his way. Let those branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our Lord and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. In his name we pray. Amen.
Mark 15, verses 1 through 39. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked him, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Well, friends, here we are at the beginning of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. And my prayer for you today is that we can begin a journey together this week. We have come through the season of Lent to this moment. And however your experience of the season of Lent has been, now is a time when we can all gather again and regroup and refocus our vision toward the week ahead. There are 52 weeks in the year, and the church sets this one aside as holy, that we pay close attention to the events of the final week of Jesus' life. For a lot of the world, this is just another week, just a regular week. It's the week of March 24th, and you can look down at your calendar and you see that tomorrow you've got to take the car in to be serviced. On Tuesday, you've got a doctor's appointment. On Wednesday, you're going to meet your friends for lunch. Ordinary things, not bad things, some of them more fun than others, but the stuff of life. But on Holy Week, we are called to turn that part down and to emphasize our life in Christ. And how can we do that? Now, if we're lucky, maybe we can clear off the calendar for the week and just really have everything dedicated toward observing a celebration of Holy Week and make it to all the special worship services at church and those kind of things. But let's begin with first things, which is to read the story and to tell the story and to pray over the story and to let the story into our hearts so that it might shape the way we think, might focus how it is we see, that it might tune our ears to things that are holy in the world around us. And so a way for us to do that would be in Mark's gospel in particular, because he lines out every day of Holy Week. What I will do for you is give you the associated scripture references. And then my challenge for us, for you and I, is that we, a few times a day, ideally say breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we'll read those scriptures and offer a prayer to God. It doesn't have to be some elaborate prayer. It can simply be something like, God, this is Holy Week, and I want it to be so. And I pray that you'll meet me in the reading of your good word, in the telling of the story of the last week of your son, Jesus. However, it's authentic to you. But simply just asking for God to help you understand and to put this word into practice in your life. I promise you that will change your life this week. Now, you may not be experiencing a blinding flash or a burning bush, but I know you'll have, sometimes it's referred to as a clarity or a peace that passes understanding. And that comes with this discipline, which of course is available to us all year long. But in particular, when the church, the body of Christ, gathers to remember who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and why he's come, heaven draws near. And so when you do that, you'll find that on Monday, when you go to take the car in for service, you will be on the lookout for signs of the holy. When you go to the doctor's appointment on Tuesday, perhaps you'll be more keenly aware of the healing presence of Christ in that doctor's office, in the care of a nurse or that physician that you're seeing. Or when you gather with your friends for lunch on Wednesday, which is always special, I hope, but there'll be something about your ability to see your friends in a special way for the gift that they are. You get my point. I think sometimes the church can be so full of its mystery, and there's something that can feel so high-minded about it. We forget the story of Palm Sunday. We forget the story of our Jesus, our Lord and Savior, whom we exalt with our love and our praise. But how does he come? He has his friends go into town and retrieve a donkey for him. And they respond by putting cloaks in the donkey, as the story goes, right? And they lay their cloaks on the road and put down the palms. And he rides down the Mount of Olives and through the valley and up the hill to the back gate of the city. And they shout, Hosanna. That is, depending on how you're interpreting it, it can be like, hallelujah, praise be to God. But in a more literal interpretation, it is, Lord, save us. This parade route, lined by people shouting out to this teacher, miracle-working rabbi, this somewhat mysterious man, on the back of a donkey, and they cry to him, save us. They see in him the majesty of David. Some of them, I think, have a very clear understanding of who he is and why he's come, and others are just projecting all kinds of their own imagery on him. This Jesus. And one of the things that's interesting to consider is the fact that there he is, and he rides a donkey, and they give him this praise and shouts, and yet he's enacting what is often done by an army when they defeat a people. They put their king or their leader on the back of a donkey to humiliate him. Jesus on the back of a donkey with the shouts of Hosanna, but enacting this parade of one who is to be humiliated, showing us on this Palm Sunday what is to come in the weeks, the days ahead this week. And so that's the kind of thing I hope you will do throughout the course of this week. When we make this journey from Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, to the verses that we get in Mark 15, crucify him, crucify him. And in all of it, we can see who we are, and we can see who Jesus is, and we can see how much we love and how far we have to go. And we can see the holy in the midst of the ordinary. And so I pray, dear friends, God's richest blessings be upon you this week. Take up this discipline of keeping this week holy. Pay attention to your thoughts and your emotions as you read the telling of the story of Jesus this week. And then when you come to the great and glorious days of resurrection, having endured the week that we will this week, the good news that he is alive, it will fall on your ears in a new way. It will enlighten and enliven your heart in a special and new way. There is tremendous good news in the week ahead. We just have to look for it. We just have to keep the week holy. And then we can say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. God, we give you thanks for this day, this Palm Sunday. And we pray over the week ahead, this holy week. And we pray that you meet us in every minute of it. And as we seek your face, as we reflect on the gospel stories of this week, we pray that you would soften our hearts, focus our vision, incline our ear, clarify our thinking, O God, so that in all things and in all ways we see you, we hear you, we feel you, and we can respond to your love, that we can share your grace and peace with the world around us. God, during this holy week, may the world hear our shouts of Hosanna, our praise to you, in our petitions that you would save us from ourselves. We confess, O God, as hard as it may be, we confess that sometimes we are in the crowd that shouts its hosannas, and sometimes we're in the crowd that says, crucify him. Help us all to hear the words you have for us. When the Father prays to the Son, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Spirit of the living God, be present with us this week, we pray. Bless our leaders. Reveal to them your truth. Help us as we are able, through your guidance, to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. And God, you know each and every one of us. You know our stories. You know our hopes and aspirations, and you know our heartaches and our challenges. And so we take a moment in this prayer to name those things before you, to hand you our prayer lists, and to make quiet space to humbly sit in your presence and listen for your voice. And we break our silence. And as we focus on your word, as we focus on the story of the Gospels, we remember a moment in the story where your disciples asked you how it is that they should pray. They come to Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray. And we inherit a prayer. Jesus' response to that question, a prayer that goes by your name, hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so mindful of the fact that when we gather around this sacred story over the days of Holy Week, we're united. We're united with one another and with our God, whom we know in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you, bids you peace, and reminds you that this week is holy. Go in peace. Amen.